And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we continue our journey through Advent, we rejoice in wonderful good news today as we heard it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, a greeting from heaven, a greeting from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Almighty God. Did you hear it? And you hear these words oftentimes as we pray them in this sanctuary. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about those words. The Lord Almighty. It's like we receive a Christmas card in the mail from God, and he says to you and me, greetings of peace. We couldn't hear a better greeting, especially in light of what you see on the screen. Certainly, we live in a world of hatred, a world of division, a world of war. And when I was thinking about peace, I was thinking about a woman that I was blessed to know in a congregation that I served in Nebraska. And this woman, Dora, she had lived in Germany for the first 30-some years of her life. And she had lived in Germany when Hitler took over and the whole Nazi movement took over the country. And she shared with me how the common citizens of Germany were terrified of Hitler. And they were praying that God would send the Allies, that they would come in and that they would conquer the land. And then she said, Pastor, you know, though, even as we prayed that and the bombers started coming over our communities, and it was terrifying to have them come because we could have easily died in any of those bombing runs. And she kind of teared up a little bit as she talked about the sound of those bombers and hearing the bombs drop and how they would be in the bomb shelters hoping that they would survive another day. That's not peace, but that's absolute turmoil and lives in great danger and death even looming. I can't imagine going through something like that. And talk about being between a rock and a hard place. You want Hitler to be defeated and the Allies are coming. And yet, in their coming, you could actually lose your life. Well, how blessed Dora was that she survived and the war ended and peace was reestablished in her life and in the land. No more terror and certainly a renewed sense of security. Well, that's peace as we know it on earth, among one another, among nations, and certainly in this nation, we've been greatly blessed in that way. But you know, this morning, as the Lord greets us in these words from Philippians 1, verse 2, we hear of a much greater, a much higher, a much more longer standing peace that comes from the Almighty God Himself. And this is a greeting, really, of reconciliation from God to man. And reconciliation meaning taking a relationship that has been destroyed and restoring it once again. And God has done that with the world that has rebelled against Him. And it goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. Remember when they ate of the forbidden fruit? God warned them, if you eat of this, you will surely die. God gave them free will. They could choose to do so. And tragically, they did. And it changed instantly everything. Adam and Eve had peace with God. They welcomed His presence in the garden. They acknowledged Him as their God, as their Creator. They lived in perfection. Wouldn't have that been incredible to live back in that day? But then when they fell into sin, when they rebelled against God, everything changed. Suddenly, their lives were filled with terror. Remember, they were terrified of God finding out. They were trying to hide in the garden. They were trying to cover themselves and hide their shame. They were terrified, and certainly security went out the window. It was absolute insecurity. And this was between them and God, whom they welcomed his presence prior to this event. You see, they became enemies of God. And now they're terrified of God. Now they are living in absolute insecurity. And now eternal condemnation is a reality in their lives. And there's nothing that they can do about it. It is God's judgment for sin. They whom God loved and created as his precious people, they became enemies of God. And in that, they became enemies of one another. Everything changed. Remember Adam blaming God and his wife for the sin? And so you see this turning inward in this hatred. And so where there was a perfect marriage, now that's been destroyed as well. A horrifying event. And even more horrifying is you and I have inherited this. You know, David, in Psalm 51, he writes these words, the great King David, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict, God, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." It's how deadly this original sin is. We have nothing to do with our life beginning in the womb, and yet the moment our life began in the womb, we already had this sin inherited, and this sin made us enemies of God, and this sin would destroy us for eternity. I'd say that's pretty serious, wouldn't you? And certainly no semblance of peace there. And we see the fallout of this original sin, even in these words that we have just seen when David says, "So you are right, God, in your verdict, and justified when you judge." David admitting, "God, I'm a sinner, and I have nothing to bring to the table. I'm guilty, and you are justified in condemning me." In James chapter 4, we hear these words, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." And you know, to be a friend of the world is really to put anything in this world before God. That's being a friend of the world. And in our land of prosperity, in our life of ease relative to most places in the world, it could be very easy and tempting for us to fall into this entrapment. And so it's good that God comes to us and reminds us of the danger and the vulnerability and the consequences. In Isaiah 59, we're revealed again the seriousness of sin. "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Think about that. That our iniquity, our sin, separates us from God. It puts a barrier, it puts a wall between us. It's a broken relationship. And it's not God's fault or doing, but it's our willful rebellion against him. And of course, in Romans chapter 6, we find out the wages of sin is death. And that meaning eternal condemnation. God just puts it out there. This is how serious these things are. And so our sin separates us from God. It makes us enemies of God. And it brings death upon us. And these are powerful things. Certainly the very opposite of peace And what's really disheartening, there's nothing you and I can do about it. But praise God, what we can't do, He has done through His intervention, through the gift of His Son, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. And so we are blessed to know these beautiful words from Colossians chapter 1. And it reads, "But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation." Wow, look at that. What words would you highlight in there? Isn't that an incredible promise that God gives to you and me? And very revealing that this isn't something we've done or even willed to have done, but this is what God chose to do out of His unconditional love for us. And so Jesus comes, God becomes man, Emmanuel, He is with us. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And Jesus comes to sacrifice His own life, to die in our place. And that's not only physical death, but Jesus faced the wrath of God, of hell, of judgment at the cross. And look at what the blessings are to you and me. We receive holiness. We receive pureness. We're without blemish by God's declaration. And look at that last phrase at the bottom. Free from accusation. Can you imagine sitting in a court of law and the sentence of death has been handed out to you? And then someone steps in and says, "I'm going to free you from this accusation." Wow, everything would just be lifted off of us, wouldn't it? But that is what God has done. It's historical, and through faith, it is in our own possession. God is the peacemaker, the one who gives the greeting of peace. There is empowerment in the greeting itself. God changes lives through the greeting that He gives. Who do you suppose received the greeting first? Adam and Eve, right? The very first humans that ever fell into sin, they received God's greeting of peace. God didn't forget them. He didn't come roaring into the garden to destroy them. He patiently endured them. And then God gave them the promise, didn't He? The promise of the seed of the woman, singular. And throughout the whole Testament then, the thread that is there, the main theme of all of Scripture is following this seed, this Messiah, this Savior. And we are blessed to live in the time of the fulfillment. And as such, we live in God's favor. We are no longer condemned by God's law as children of faith, but we live under His favor, His forgiveness, and with that, we are at peace with God. Isn't that incredible? We stand at peace with God because of the peace He has established with us. And what a contrast it is from our former condition. In Isaiah 57, verse 20, we hear, "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud." Isn't that quite descriptive of the world? You see the turmoil and the mire and the mud. Just look at Washington, D.C. You don't have to go very far to see that. The mud slinging, that's the imagery that's here. And it's among most people on this earth. We see the horrible hatred and the degrading of other human life. But that's what being lacking peace with God causes and brings naturally. And even in our sinful nature, we can fall into that entrapment. We can be mudslingers at times, which is really horrific when you think about it. As Christians, that's not who we are. And yet, we are guilty. But oh, what a contrast from that to John chapter 10. Look at those words. Good Shepherd chapter. Look at the intimate relationship of peace that the Lord has established with you and me. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." You see this fellowship again. It's like in the Garden of Eden prior to sin. Adam and Eve welcoming God's presence, wanting to hear his voice, wanting to follow God wherever he led them. And that now is the reality for you and me as his precious people of faith. The Lord knows us. We follow him. Jesus says, "I give them eternal life." There, the consequence of God's judgment is gone. We have no accusation against us now, and we have the blessing of eternal life. And then I love it. Jesus says, "They shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." That is our life now as God's people. Quite a contrast from mudslinging, isn't it? Or turmoil. Or hatred. I think of Dora. What a contrast it was when those bombers weren't flying over her house anymore. Hitler was gone, and peace was reestablished in the land. Can you imagine the weight and the burden that was lifted off of her heart, off of her life? And yet that minor compared to what God reveals to you and me here this morning. Think about the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul was going out and, boy, he was seeking Christians and he was seeking them out to throw them into prison, wanted to end this movement, and then God appears to him in the bright light on the road to Damascus, and Saul's life has changed forever, receives a new name, Paul. The Apostle Paul becomes a messenger of peace. What a change. But only God can do that. And so you and I have been called to not hold on to this greeting, not take this Christmas card from God, if you will, and just throw it into a desk and close the door or the drawer and forget about it. No, we are called to take the card given to us and to share it with others, because who did Jesus die for? The entire world. And so this message God intends for the entire world. It's kind of like when you get a wonderful greeting, maybe via email, and you're like, "Oh, I have a friend or a relative. I would love to have them read this also. This is such an awesome message." And what do? You forward the email, right? Well, that's the honor God bestows on you and me with this greeting of peace. Yes, we hold on to it, we cherish it, we rejoice in it, but we also want to share it and let as many people as possible know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, God gives a clear description of our calling in these words. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We are people of peace now." That's the newness. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." And look at that. What did God do? He gave us the ministry. Isn't that incredible? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to the exclusion of no one. He's reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. What a wonderful message to bring to people, right? "And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." And that's what God has chosen to do. I know for those of you, Larry's done this a few times. I've been blessed to be able to do this. I had a member that had a flower shop in one of the congregations I served, and when it really got busy, I'd help him deliver flowers. Do you ever have somebody slam the door in your face for delivering flowers? Not generally. It's a fun thing to do because it brings great joy to people. And, oh, you open the door. Oh, my goodness, who is that from? And they're all excited, and it's beautiful. Well, we have something much greater than some flowers. We can share this wonderful word of peace that comes from the Almighty God Himself. What an honor, what a privilege. And so the question is, are we willing to simply do that? When we, our sinful nature wants to be divisive, first of all, this greeting of peace should instantly remind us and stop us and guard us from causing division and to share this wonderful peace for the sake of the lost. And so the Apostle Paul, formerly Saul, persecutor, and through the greeting, he becomes perhaps the greatest missionary to walk the face of the earth. What is Paul's mission? Simply to bring the good news, to be the Lord's ambassador. And then in the gospel reading, as we heard Larry read it this morning, you know, when people were cut to heart, they realized that this means a change in our lives. The tax collectors who were ripping people off, it's like, well, what do we need to do? Well, you need to change that ripping people off. Be honest in the work that you do. And for the soldiers, can you imagine how they may have abused their authority, extorting people? And now they're called to not do that any longer. Peace changes hearts. It changes actions. It changes lives. For Dora, what a blessing. A few years later, after World War II, she got to come to the United States of America, make her home, some would say hell on earth in Western Nebraska. But some of us would not say that, right, Dick? Yeah. But she got to come to a little peaceful community of Sydney, Nebraska. What a change from what she experienced growing up. Peace. Well, one day, you and I, there we are. We're going to be standing in glory with all of our loved ones who have gone before us, with the whole church. And we are going to fully dwell with God in perfect peace. No more turmoil. No more sinful flesh. No more death. But perfect life the way God created it in the beginning. I'd say that's a pretty good message to share, wouldn't you? Wow. Greetings from the King. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.